and the title of the play, but it's a common thing to think about, right? We make a lot of choices in our lives every day. First of all, we make the choice whether we get out of bed or not. And I'd like to commend you all for getting out of bed on a Sunday morning. I also know that it's not always easy, but that is the first choice we make every day. We also make choices about what we're going to wear. And notice I have a picture of a woman choosing clothes because I think it takes us a lot longer than it does men, at least in my house, that's true. But that's another small choice that we make each day. Then, another important one, cream or sugar in your coffee. Or if you're me, how many cups of coffee do I need today to get everything done? A favorite choice of us all, what to have for lunch and dinner. We never know what to make, right? This is one of, I think, the hardest things about being an adult, always having to choose what to make for dinner. But then there are also bigger choices that we make in our lives, such as what kind of job are we going to have? We might choose a career and stick with it for our whole life, or we might at some point say, I think I might want to try something else. So we decide if we're sticking with what we're doing or looking for something new. We also make a choice about what kind of home we're going to have, and I think this looks like a pretty good house to have. But that's a big choice, right? It affects our everyday lives, our mortgage, you know, what can we afford? Where do we want to live? And then when we are in a house, what kind of updates are we going to do? What kind of furniture are we going to have? Always a lot of choices for us in where we live. And then if you make the choice to have children, you have to choose what daycare you're going to send them to. And that's a big one for a lot of us parents these days. But we also make choices that affect our spiritual lives, such as prayer. How do we choose to use prayer each day? Do we pray before we eat? Do we pray before we go to bed? Or just any time we need help or we see something we want to say thank you, God, for? Or do we not pray much at all? We also choose how we will serve others, and that's a very important piece of our faith. How do we live our lives in ways that benefit the world and God? As I kind of mentioned earlier, we make a choice whether or not we go to worship. And again, thank you to all of you for making that choice today, because I know that it's not always an easy choice. And I know, of course, there are times when we can't come to worship, but we often have a choice whether or not we go. I came across this quote from Kent Hughes. He said, on the most elementary level, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian, but you don't have to go home to be married. But in both cases, if you don't, you'll have a very poor relationship. Because God's grace is a gift for us. We have been saved through faith, and it is God's gift. And gifts are only a benefit to us if we use them. If we don't dedicate ourselves to worship, to choosing worship, to choosing prayer, and growing in faith, we miss out on these great gifts of God. If someone gives you a great gift, you want to use it, don't you? If you get an inheritance, it's probably burning a hole in your pocket. I know my kids at Christmas time, as they opened gifts, just wanted to play with that gift and then the next gift. They were so into the gifts they had gotten. There is a risk to accepting that gift of faith, especially if we make that a meaningful gift in our lives. God's word today for us invites us to choose life, to choose that gift that God has given us, the way that God has set before us in the Ten Commandments, to follow them, but also to love God and to walk in his ways, just like we heard about a few weeks ago in Micah. Do justice, love kindness, walk humbly with God. Notice that this is a choice. We aren't forced to be here. We aren't God's, well, some of you are maybe, but we aren't God's puppets. God gives us free will to choose to follow him or not. These are some of the last words God says to his people through Moses, before Moses hands the reins of leadership over to Joshua. Moses has led God's people out of slavery in Egypt through the desert for 40 years. And he says even after all that, they still have a choice whether or not they will follow and serve God. Moses said, I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying him and holding fast to him. For that means life for you and length of days, so that you may live in the land that the Lord swore to give to your ancestors. We always have a choice whether we follow God or not. And sometimes it's very tempting to not follow God, especially when we hear readings like today's lovely gospel reading. God challenges us to make hard choices, like not holding on to our anger. God challenges us to seek out those who are angry with us and reconcile with them. And both of these things are not easy for us. They're very go against what we tend to do in our world today and what we want to do. We sometimes want to hang on to our anger and our grudges. God also challenges us through Jesus to watch out for lust, because he says the thoughts of lust can lead to actions, and that is not what God wants us to choose. Jesus also says those hard words about divorce, that we shouldn't just divorce someone without a very serious reason why, and he lists unfaithfulness. And we know there can be other very good reasons for a divorce. But I think what Jesus is trying to tell us is that it's just not something we should do lightly, without a lot of work, without a lot of thought, without a lot of prayer. And Jesus also tells us that we should take our promises to God seriously. He says, "You shall not swear falsely, but carry out the vows you've made to the Lord. Let your answer be yes, yes, or no, no." And as someone who has a 5-year-old who's very good at arguing, when you ask him to do something he doesn't want to do, I know the beauty of a yes or no answer. God challenges us to keep our promises, because following him is a challenge. God's word convicts and challenges all of us, pastors, leaders in the church, and all Christians. But we aren't here because we're perfect. We're here because we want to follow Jesus. We want to grow. We need to hear forgiveness when we've made a mistake. We need to be challenged when we get too complacent. This part of the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus is sharing begins to turn the perspective of the disciples to outside of themselves. It's about relationships. We're not just God's disciples for our own sakes and our own actions, but for the sake of our relationships with those around us. There's an accountability and a responsibility for the other for the sake of the good of our community. That's why we say we are the body of Christ, and each one of us is needed. This is a very challenging truth to hear and to preach. Our world favors and rewards individualism, autonomy, and independence. To preach that we need to be connected, that we are part of a community, and that we depend on each other is not always a popular message. We hear Jesus' words in the gospel today, and we want to resist them, to reject them, and question them, because they go against what the world favors and values. They ask us to make some very hard choices that we'd rather not do. Thank you very much, Jesus. I'm just fine with my anger and my grudges and my lust and my relationships and my choices. But every decision we make brings us closer to God or further away from him. And going against the world's message is not always fun or easy. But sometimes that's just the nature of the gospel. And maybe that's why Jesus' first act in the Gospel of Matthew is this big sermon. A sermon that tells the truth about who we are, about who we're called to be as God's people, and about God. And it comes from God, from Emmanuel God, a God who came to be with us, to show us the way of the Father, and to offer us God's grace. At the heart of the Sermon on the Mount is, the only way we can hear these words with any sort of hope or grace is that we have to remember that these are coming from God who stood before his people. We remember that God is with us, not just God is with me. We remember that, and we begin to realize the truth of Jesus' words, that we are a part of each other, each of us is important, and that we are shaped by our choice to participate in God's community, because God chose to come and participate in our world too. Last week in the high school youth group, we had a speaker from Advocates, the shelter in our county that provides help to people who are in abusive situations. We had a speaker come and talk to the high schoolers about what makes a healthy dating relationship. And we like to do this every couple years because we think it's really important for them to know and to think about. And this week we're talking about in youth group, what are our goals in life? What are the priorities we have? And what do we need to do to get the kind of life that we hope to have? This is also important for all of us to do, to think about how we're living those little choices, those big choices we make every day, and how they move us closer to the kind of life that we hope to have. And as we think about what God wants for us, we remember that faith makes things possible, but not easy. The choices we make are important, but God is with us the whole way, rooting for us, guiding us to make the choices that he hopes we'll make. And we aren't here today because we always do the right thing, but because we want to learn to make better choices for ourselves, our relationships, our community, and our own faith. And I want to leave you with these words. I choose faith over anxiety, hope over worry, and love over fear. These are some of the most important choices that we can make in our lives. I pray this week that you will make these choices and other choices that will feed your faith, your hope, and your love for God and for others. Amen.